Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
So this week we are continuing our series called Family Circus. And the reason we're called this series Family Circus is how many in the room would just admit that sometimes your family kind of feels like a circus? Some of you don't know whether you're, some days I don't know if I'm the ringmaster or the clown or the spectator. I just know that sometimes life is a really, really scary show. Sometimes I just feel like I'm living in the middle of a circus. Sometimes I feel like if you come to my house unannounced, you're going to see that my house, it looks like a circus just took place because we have toys of all different times and we can clean them all up. And how many know that two kids in 2 minutes can undo 2 hours? Were the stuff, right? And so this week, we're on week two. Last week, we talked about how to juggle, the struggle to juggle life. If you missed last week, you can go back online, and those are on the church podcast. They're on Facebook. You can watch or listen to it. But today, we're talking about the elephant in the room. How many would agree that you can't have a circus without an elephant? And I've got news for you. There's probably an elephant in your family circus too. And so this morning, I want to introduce you to my pet elephant. Her name is Ellie. Would everyone please say hello, Ellie? Ellie. Isn't that a cute name? Ellie the elephant. That's my friend today. She's going to help me talk to you this morning. And I know Ellie is such a cute name, but I've discovered most of the elephants in my life, their names aren't so cute. And we talked last week, I kind of introduced this message to you, that an elephant, you talk about the elephant in the room, the elephants in our family circus, what's that about? An elephant, for today's purposes, is defined like this. It's something that everyone sees and no one addresses. Something everyone sees and no one addresses. So it's kind of like this, when there's bitterness in your family, everyone sees it, and it doesn't go away until someone addresses it. If there's an addiction in your life or in your family, everyone sees it, and it doesn't go away until someone addresses it. Hurts from yesterday or yesteryear. Sometimes the reason our families feel like a circus is because we're doing all this stuff to avoid acknowledging that there is some issues in the room. You know, it doesn't just go away. Betrayal doesn't just go away. The fallout from last night's argument or even your fight on the way to church. I've discovered some of the biggest fights happen on the way to church. Now, they don't happen to me and my wife. Two reasons for that. Number one, we're too spiritual. And number two, we don't come to church together. Mostly the latter. We don't drive to church together on Sunday. So we never argue on the way to church. But here's the deal. When there's a promise you make and you don't keep it, that becomes an elephant in the room that doesn't. We could spend the next hour, we won't, but we could spend the next hour just talking about different things that become the elephant in our family, the elephant in our life that somebody needs to address that no one does. I'll give you a little factoid about elephants so you can go home feeling educated about elephants today. I was kind of shocked to know this. Did you know that at birth, an elephant weighs 150 pounds. That's a big baby, isn't it? 150 pounds, and it starts walking within 15 minutes. Imagine if your newborn started walking in 15 minutes. 150-pound baby starts walking around in 15 minutes. That's not just true for the physical elephants in our lives, but it's true for the proverbial elephants as well. The moment they find a spot in your life, it's just a matter of time that they start moving around and affecting everything else, destroying everything else, making a mess of everything else. Sometimes the reason our life feels like a circus is because we've got an elephant in the room that we don't think anyone sees and no one is dealing with it and is causing havoc for us all the time. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, we're going to look at a pretty famous guy in the Word of God. His name was King David. Most of you know his story. You know, at least you've heard his name before. And we're going to kind of pick up on on the elephant in David's life. And we're going to just fast forward to the end of his story, to where the elephant finally gets revealed. And so here's what we're reading about. So the Lord sent Nathan. Nathan was a prophet of God, to David. And Nathan came to him and said, he begins to tell him this story. There were two men in a certain city. One was rich and the other were poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cows, but the poor man had only one little female lamb that he had bought. He raised her and she grew up in his home with his children. She would eat and drink food from the same cup. That's just kind of weird, but some of y'all do the same thing with your dogs. I don't understand it. She rested in his arms and was like a daughter. Now, a visitor came to the rich man, and the rich man thought it would be a pity to take one of his own sheep or cattle and prepare for a meal for this traveler. So he took the poor man's lamb and prepared her for the traveler. You pick up on that? Instead of taking one of his multitudes, he just stole this one man's one sheep. And David burned with anger against the man. And he said, I solemnly swear as the Lord lives, he said to Nathan, the man who did this certainly deserves to die. And he must pay four times the price of the lamb because he did this and had no pity. Here's like the big moment, verse number 7. By the way, remember, he's speaking to the king. David's the king. And Nathan says, you are the man. Now, most time when someone says, you're the man, that's a good thing, right? Not a good thing. Nathan says, you're the man. This is what the Lord of God says. I anointed you king of Israel and rescued you from Saul. I gave you your master Saul's house and his wives. I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that weren't enough, I would have given you even more. Why did you despise my word by doing what I considered evil? You had Uriah the Hittite killed in battle. You took his wife as your wife. You used the Ammonites to kill him. So warfare will never leave your house because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Let's pray. Father, we love you. I pray the next minutes of time, you'll help us to glean from your word. And more importantly this morning, I pray that all of us will live lives that are blessed by you and filled with the life that you have for us, because we have addressed the elephants in our life, the elephants in the room, the things that are keeping us from enjoying the blessing of God, that those things will be exposed to us this morning and that we will deal with them by submitting them and surrendering them to you, Lord. So help me to preach what you want me to preach. Help us to hear what the Spirit of God wants us to hear. And we'll give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's talk about the elephant in David's room. Some of you know the story of David. He was the king. He's considered a man, God said in one time, that he's a man after God's own heart. But the Bible says in the season when the kings would normally go off at war, King David decided he would stay home. And he was staying home and he's supposed to be out fighting and he gets bored. And so he's walking across the top of his house one day and he looks down and he sees this bathing beauty named Bathsheba. And he says, I've got to have her. And so he calls her in. He finds out who she is, her name, who she's married to, the whole nine yards. And he ignores all that. He brings her in. They sleep together. She ends up pregnant. But instead of trying to just say, hey, I messed up, come clean, have a talk with the husband, do whatever is necessary. Instead of doing all that, he tries to hide it. And he thinks that he's gotten away with it until the moment we just read about, when Nathan shows up and says, listen, you haven't gotten away with anything. See, David went through an elaborate scheme to try to hide the elephant in the room. The thing that everyone saw. Now, sometimes we read this and we think that Nathan is talking to David and we think that, man, Nathan is saying something that no one else knows. But actually, everyone knew about David's elephant. Everyone knew that David had had an affair. Well, Greg, how do you know that everyone knew? Because when David, before the first thing started, David asked his servants, who is this lady? And they told him right up front, David, her name is Bathsheba, and she's married to Uriah. And then he told his servants, go and get her. And here's what I know about people today and people 2,000 years ago or 3,000 years ago is that people talk. Right? People can't keep secrets. And so these servants knew that David had sent for this woman. And they knew they were doing more than just playing Uno behind closed doors. They knew exactly what was up. Everyone knew what was going on in David's life. And he's doing his best to try to hide the elephant in his life. He says, I'll just invite Uriah home from the war. And he'll come home and spend the weekend with Bathsheba. And they'll sleep together. And when the baby's born, he'll just think it was his. But none of that works. Uriah is such a man of honor, he won't go home to be with his wife when his brothers are out fighting. David thought, man, I've gotten away with hiding my elephant when he had Uriah killed. He just married her and thought, it won't bother me. It won't hurt me. No one will know. But it did bother him. And everyone knew. And I bring that up this morning because all of us in this room, we are experts at trying to hide the elephants in our lives. We are experts at trying to hide our sin, hide our mistakes, hide our shortcomings, do everything we can to minimize or marginalize the effects of our mistakes. But here's the deal. God can't heal what we won't be honest about. And God can't help us with what we will not confess to him. And every moment we hide the elephant in our life, he's moving around destroying things. See, I've discovered that elephants are awesome in a circus tent, but they're horrible in our homes. They are great things to go and look at, but they are horrible things to live with. And from a distance, they might look great, but up close, they really stink. Have you been to the zoo? Are the circus? And when we hide the elephants in our room, they're not just like staying in the closet. They're wreaking havoc. So the question I want to ask this morning, I know I'm jumping into the deep end of the pool with you today, but I want to ask you, how do you deal with the elephant in the room? How do you deal with the thing that everyone sees and no one addresses? Or how do I deal with the thing that I think I'm doing a good job hiding? I'll talk about that in a few moments. But here's the first thing. The first thing I understand is that elephants don't sneak into your life. They're invited there by bad choices. David didn't just wake up one day and find out through an email that the girl down the street was pregnant and the baby was his. And wonder, how did that happen? He knew how it happened. He had opened the door despite knowing the facts were wrong anyway. Have you ever known something was wrong and you did it anyway? I look at David and I think, man, you are like really, really not smart. I mean, you asked this question, who is she? And they told you she's married to someone else who works for you. And you go and sleep with her anyway. That is so not smart. But David made the choice. He knew the facts and made the wrong choice anyway. And I really want to get down on him. But honestly, I do the same thing sometimes. I know what I should do, and I do just the opposite. And every time I do that, do you know what I'm doing when I do that? I'm inviting Ellie to come live with me. I'm not just inviting Ellie to live with me. I'm inviting Ellie to live with everyone that I live with. One of the reasons we got to deal with the elephants in our lives is that we don't just invite them into our life. We invite them to our family's life and to everyone that we're in a relationship. Every time we make a choice against the word of God and the will of God for our lives, we're inviting something destructive to live in our lives. David knew it was wrong and he did it anyway. It came back and it bit him. It came back and it's bitten me before, and it'll come back and bite you too. But Genesis says this, if you'll do what is right, you'll be accepted by God. But if you refuse to do what's right, listen to this. Watch out, because sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it. Have you ever been to someone's house, or maybe even your house? But you've been to someone's house who has a dog? Please no one break out in a song. Please don't sing about this. But have you ever accidentally let the dogs out? You know, you go into someone's house, and in the moment you crack the door, there's this nose trying to get out. Or maybe you've been in their backyard and you're trying to get in and he's trying to get inside with you. And you know, if I just crack the door just enough, this thing's coming in. Can I tell you, that's how the elephants are in our lives. That's how sin is in our life. It's just looking for an empty hole. It's looking for one little crack in our lives so he can come in and bring destruction. Elephants don't sneak in, they're invited in. David invited this destructive thing into his life by the choices he made. And you and I do the same thing. But they can't get in unless they open the door. And we let elephants in. We let destructive things of sin and life in when we do things that dishonor God, or we do things that we know God has told us not to do. And here's the sad thing is if you are married or in a relationship today, there's two people that can open the door to destructive stuff in your life today. You and your spouse. So it's important that we both choose wise choices. Nathan gave, some of you are thinking, Pastor, let's not worry about how the elephant gets in our life. Just worry about getting him out. Well, that's a good thought, but here's the deal. If we don't figure out how the issues in our life are getting in, guess what we'll do? We'll just keep letting them in. Over and over and over again. So Nathan started out giving David a detailed account how the elephant got in the room. Here's the second thing, is you have to realize elephants are impossible to hide. David thought he was being an expert at hiding his elephant, hiding his sin, hiding his problems, hiding his mistakes. He went through this elaborate scheme to have Uriah on the front lines of the army and told all his generals, have everyone else back out. So it's not that David went and killed him with a sword. He just put Uriah in a spot where he would be killed. But Proverbs says this in chapter 5, verse 21. Now this is so key to our lives. Listen to this. Your lives are in full view of the Lord. Did you know that? The thing that you and I try our best to cover up and try to pretend that no one is seeing and no one can know about, God already sees it. God already knows about it. In Numbers, the Lord says this, that you can be sure that your sins will find you out. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus said it like this, that there's nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and there's nothing concealed that will not be known or brought into the open. Can I just tell you this morning? There's no such thing as secret sin. It may be secret for a moment, but it's going to come out. Let's step away for just 30 seconds. Let's step away from trying to live for God and please God. Just think about in the national arena. How many national leaders in the last 10 years have been on the pinnacle of their career, and all of a sudden an email gets hacked, someone shows up from their past, and something that no one knew about, now everyone knows about. It doesn't just happen in our lives, and when it comes to our spiritual life, it happens in everything. There's no such thing as secret sin. At some point, it's always going to come out. And here's the sad news and the good news you need to know about that. Here's the thing is that God cannot heal what you choose to hide. Some of you are, you're praying like this, God, please get this elephant out of my life. And then people are coming up to you and say, so what's going on? Oh, nothing. Nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. Things are great. David was pretending like nothing has happened. Everything is great. But here's the deal. God can't bless and God can't heal and God can't help what you try to hide. One of the very first keys of salvation is that we've got to believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and then we've got to confess our sins before him. He can't help us when we're spending our whole life hiding. And as I said earlier, let me see if you were listening. At birth, an elephant weighs how much? And he starts walking around in how many minutes? And the elephant in your life is not going to stay hidden in your closet. He's going to move around. And he's going to cause havoc everywhere you can. Some people think, well, I can just compartmentalize this one secret, this one part of my life. And I'm just going to tell you, elephants don't stay put. It doesn't take long. But here, at least my third point is that elephants destroy everything around them. Samuel records, or Nathan said, but by doing these things, you've shown utter contempt for the Lord. Listen to this. This is a sad part of the story. I don't know if you caught it a few minutes ago. And the son born to you will die. Nothing is safe as long as there's an elephant in the room. Nothing is safe as long as you're trying to hide your sin instead of letting God heal your sin. Nothing is safe as long as you're trying to hide your issues and still letting God cleanse you and change you and transform you from your issues. Every moment an elephant is allowed to roam around in your life is a moment he is creating more and more havoc in your life. You know, Kelly and Jason were telling me the other day, they just moved into a new home and they were moving their furniture in. And as they were moving their furniture in, they looked around, and one of the neighbor's dogs, or was it two of the neighbor's dogs? Two of the neighbor's dogs had gotten out and ran into their house and was like jumping and sitting all over their furniture. And so what Jason and Kelly did was they shut the door, trapped the dog in, got some dog food in a water bowl, and said, I hope you enjoy living with us. No, that's not what they did. Some of you thought, man, they are nuts. No, that's not what they did. They started moving immediately to get the dogs out of the house. That's the same thing you and I got to do. This is not a message this morning to say, you got to be perfect or God's going to smite you. No, that's not what this message is about. This message is about this. When sin is crouching at our door, and when you and I are human and make the wrong choices and things move in, we got to do what they did with the neighbor's dogs. We got to get them out ASAP. They realize, if I don't get this out, it's going to destroy our home. And the same is true for the issues in your life and my life as well. Some people, instead of dealing with the elephant, they try to run from their elephant. They try to hide their elephant. They'll try to deal with it. Some people even avoid, you know, this person knows what I'm going through or what I've went through, and they know what I'm struggling with. So I'm just going to avoid that person, that place. I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure that my elephant isn't brought up. And they think by hiding or deflecting or ignoring, it'll just go away. And I'm just going to tell you today, it won't just go away. And it's easier to see other people's elephant than it is our own. Do you notice when David heard the story of the man who had, 150 sheep, cattle, and the story about the guy who just had one? And when he heard the story about the guy who had many, kept his many, and stole the guy that had one, what did he do? The Bible says he burned with anger. He could easily see the problem in someone else's life. And this is so challenging to us because often we can see the problem in someone else's life. We can see their elephant a lot easier than we can see our elephant. Matter of fact, that phrase, I think, is really key when it says, David burned with anger. Oftentimes the reason we burn with anger about someone else's issue is because without realizing it's actually exposing an issue of our own. We see in someone else what we know is living in us. And we respond in haste, sometimes in judgment, about someone else's sin when we ought to do is take that same passion and deal with our own sin. But it's much easier to deal with others than it is with our own. So when someone talks about sin that angers us, it's often an indication that the same seed of sin lies in us. So be careful. Turn your judgment inward first. And fifth, let me close this way, Megan, if you want to come. The elephant. So he spent the rest of his life hunting for elephants. Looking, asking God to search me, try me, look and see, is there anything in my life that's going to cause destruction and chaos for me or for my family? And if so, Lord, expose that to me so that I can respond to it now. In our closing moment today, I want to ask you and I, let's ask the Holy Spirit, let's ask the help of God to help us do some elephant hunting this morning. So I want to ask you to bow your heads all across this room this morning, and we're going to ask God to help us see what we need to see. The elephant in the room, it always costs us, it always destroys us, it always sabotages every relationship we have until we deal with it. So let's become expert elephant hunters this morning. I hope that when you leave the service today, if someone says, hey, so what did that guy talk about at that church today? I hope you'll say, man, he taught me to be an elephant hunter. That'd be okay. Because I don't want to leave my life open to things that wreak havoc. I don't want to live my life that opens the door to things that bring in chaos. I want to live a life that's transformed by the power of God. And this morning, this private moment this morning, heads bowed just out of respect for the privacy of your neighbor so they can respond how they need to respond without the fear of who's seeing or who's looking. And that same is going to be for you too. You say, Pastor, my life has been damaged by an elephant in the room. There's something that, hey, maybe you think, maybe you're convinced, maybe you're even right. At this moment, no one knows about it. But you know about it. And you know what it's costing you. Maybe you didn't even know it till this morning, but just while I've been speaking the last minutes, the Spirit of God's been telling you, hey, this thing is costing you something. Maybe everyone knows about it. Maybe no one knows about it. Let me tell you, it's going to keep on costing you until you bring it into the open before God and let Him heal you. You say, Pastor, there's something in my life this day that's been costing me a lot. The Spirit of God's talked to me about it this morning. Instead of being an elephant hider, I'm going to be an elephant hunter this morning. I'm going to submit this thing to God and let Him heal me. I'm not going to ask you to come forward or stand up. I'm not going to embarrass you in front of anybody. But I do want to know to pray for you. Would you just lift a hand real quick? Listen to me, Pastor. Pray for me. There's some things that I've been spending way too much effort hiding. And it's preventing God from healing. Listen, God wants to be your healer this morning. But you got to confess it before Him. Several hands. Who else this morning? Secondly, this morning, somebody in the room, listen, you walked in today. And this is just as raw and honest as I can be. You walked in today knowing that you, like David. David knew clearly the facts. And he chose to live in opposition to the facts. Some of you this morning, you've walked in and you've been living for days, weeks, or months in opposition to what you know the Word of God says. And you thought, I can handle it, I can control it, I can marginalize it, it won't cost me anything. But I can tell you by the Word of God this morning, it will cost you something. And the longer you live in opposition to God's Word, the more it's going to cost you. This morning, this plea is not to people who have never been to church today. I'm talking right now to people who maybe are in church every single week of the year. But you know, I've been violating the Word of God. And I'm just going to love you enough this morning to tell you the truth. It will cost you. And the longer you hide the elephant, the more it's going to cost you. And not just you, it's going to cost those that you love. This is God's voice to you saying this morning, it's time to get clean. It's time to get right with Him. It's time to stop excusing what the Word of God clearly says there's no excuse for. Us hiding our sin, keeping it from Him. He can't help us as long as we're hiding. And as long as we're running, and if that's you this morning, you've been running from God. And you've been running from God not by absenting yourself from the family of God or absenting yourself from claiming to live a lifestyle for God. You've been absenting yourself from God by denying His Word for your life. And today, Say, Pastor, that's me. I know I need to make a change, and today is the day. I'm going to respond to what the Holy Spirit has spoken to me personally. Would you raise your hand real quick? I know that's a bold ask this morning. Amen? A couple of bold people this morning. Say, Pastor, no longer. No longer. I know. I know what it is. Amen. I want to pray for those people this morning. And here's the third thing. You're in the room today. Say, hey, listen. This whole church thing, Jesus thing, is all new. I'm not really sure all the facts. But you just know that you don't have a relationship with God today. You know that you're not a Jesus follower. You never maybe even heard the whole story. But beyond what you know, you don't know. You just sensed this morning that I need to give my life to Jesus, maybe for the very first time. You may not even fully know what that means. You just know that this morning you're being challenged to take a step towards God. I would love to lead you in a prayer to help you take that step. If you're here this morning, just lift your hands. Ask me, Pastor, pray for me. I need to take a step towards Jesus this morning. I need to give my life to Jesus, maybe for the very first time. Amen. A couple of hands. Let's stand together this morning. I'm going to ask the whole congregation to say this prayer with me out loud. I say this quite often, that repeating a prayer out loud never changed anything, but saying a prayer from your heart can change everything. So there are several people this morning that lifted their hands and said, listen, I need to take a step towards God this morning. I'm not where I'm supposed to be. Maybe you're not a Christ follower at all. Let's all say this prayer out loud to just make things right with God. Then we're going to pray over the specific things. But let's pray this out loud. If you'll say it as loud as you can, just as an encouragement to the people around you. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. You love me enough to let me know what you think about my life. I know you want to lead me. I know you want to guide me to a life that is full, to a life that is abundant. For that to happen, I need you to cleanse me. I need you to change me. I need you to forgive me of my sins. I need you to erase my past and give me a new future. So Jesus, today, I ask you to do that. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you lived, died, and rose again, and that you're alive so that I can have new life. So today I give you my future, my past, and my present. I'm going to follow you from this moment forward. So lead me, Jesus, and I'll follow. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap with those who are coming to know him for the first time. Amen.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless. Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.